guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, we've got a couple of good back-to-back episodes today.
We do. We're getting good at this. So, like, here's the teaser from... So these are from Clayton Makepeace, these tips. And here's what he wrote on the... This was from an old issue, and I'm actually training some copywriters on this next week. So I can't remember. I don't know if it says when it was from. It's been a while. It's years old. Mm-hmm. But on the cover, it says, if you've ever wondered how to write response boosting, order pulling bullets and fascinations that literally keep your prospect tossing and turning, unable to sleep until he orders your product, and this will be one of the most important marketing letters you ever read. So I can't do any better than that. I figured
that's killer.
Yeah, there's 21 different bullet secrets. We won't have time to get through, but probably a third of those at the most. Yeah, just, you know, one of the things that I've personally ordered stuff off of one bullet in an entire sales letter.
Yeah. I can't remember how many products I've bought from Bob Bly over the years, a lot of his information products, just from, if you've ever read any of his sales pages, he does really, I mean, he uses bullets very effectively. I would read one or two bullet points on that thing. I'm like, yo, you got me there.
That's the one I just want
read right straight down, go straight to the bottom, click order. That's all I need.
Yeah. I think Ben Settle's great at one of the great bullet writers as well. He's really good at them. I know I've bought some stuff off of his, just the bullets before. So, sure. Well, before we get into those, I'm going to talk beverage. I'm excited about mine today.
Oh, good. So, glad.
I don't. So I am.
That makes two of us.
But I've got some cool news as we begin the beer segment.
All right.
So right now, Total Wine is about 45 minutes from me.
Right.
And they're moving. Or they're adding a location that will be about 5 minutes away.
That goes for an applause there.
Yes, right?
Where's our applause?
There you go. Yeah. So I will be able to go get my six packs with some variety, more variety than the grocery store.
That's fantastic. 5 minutes
away. That's awesome.
Convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice indeed. So I guess I'll go first. It's in my hands.
All right.
So love the can. This is I can't even say it, Athelbros Scotch Ale, Athelbrose.
Ooh.
See Atoll, that? I guess it's Atoll Brosh.
Brosh, Scotch.
Scotch Ale.
That's 2 weeks in a row you've had a Scotch.
Yeah, so it's from the Strangeland Brewery, which I know I've had on here before. Brewed with honey, oats, whiskey, and oats, handcrafted in Austin, Texas, 7.5% alcohol, 16 IBUs, super low. Says in 1475, the first Earl of Athol vanquished his enemies after filling their well with an intoxicating mixture of Scotch whiskey, oats, and honey. This legend has been kept alive. The equally legendary whiskey concoction known as Athelbros. Drawing inspiration from this tradition, we've crafted our Scotch ale with Central Texas wildflower honey, flaked oats, and oak infused with a blend of single malt Scotch whiskeys.
Single malt too.
Yeah. So there we go.
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah.
So are you wearing a kilt? You got a kilt on today?
I wish I had one. That would be great. I do need to get one. That would be good.
I got to figure out what my, I know I've got some Scotch ancestry. I still don't know my, my color lineage. So I need to get that before, you know, I find out what my pattern is.
Yeah. Well, you remember, speaking of, persuasion, one of the greatest letters of all time is the coat of arms letter, you know, where you could buy your coat of arms for your surname and all that from Gary Halbert.
Yep.
Literally wrote a letter to the phone book and it made millions for him. Do you know that story? We should do a whole show on that, but
that would be, that's a great story.
Literally at one point he had, you know, this is pre-internet. Yep. So everything was done by the mail.
Sure.
So people had to like pull a check out, write a check, send it in the mail, whole deal. And literally he had three or four full-time women just to open the mail and take the checks to the bank. Can you imagine three full-time people just to process your checks?
Just taking the checks. Wow. That's
awesome. Yeah, he literally, you know, before there was, we should have Doberman Dan on. He could probably tell that story.
Yep.
But yeah, like, yeah, just literally just started writing the phone book, you know, all the, you know, Aaron's, the Andrews, the blah, yeah. blah, 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 all the way down.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So when everybody says, you know, the old, like, no, you need a niche, you can't sell to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, apparently you can.
Yep. Yep.
But all right, what do you got?
Well, I've got a straight from Total Wine this past week. Hit the singles rack again and picked up a Breakfast Hero from Trim Tab Brewing. This is an Imperial Donut Stout.
Right. There you go.
Donut.
Now we're talking.
And see, I came fully prepared, John.
Yes. That's awesome. Donut in one hand, donut stout in the other. I like it.
So I made my...
But are you going to dunk?
No, I'm not going to dunk.
Come on.
But I may, because this got a little coffee in this. I'm reading the... So this is a this is from Trim Tab Brewing Company. It's 8.5 ABV. Notes of syrupy covered pancakes, melted baker's chocolate, subtle vanilla ice... ice cream, hazelnut coffee, a chewy body. So I'm not sure how to take that. Perfect pairing with a breakfast dish. So here it is. I mean, there you go. So it is a perfect pairing with a breakfast. They don't say which kind of breakfast dish. How about a donut, right?
Yeah. So wow.
That's not good. It's a good thing I got some wipes right here.
Keep trying to fry your keyboard.
There we go.
Oh, that looks delicious.
Yep. So
pretty dark for an ale. That's a very dark ale.
So while I'm wiping up my mess here, I'll let you give me your impression on yours.
Very much just a
middle of the road.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming. Like, it's a good sipping beer. Like, you could probably have a couple of these.
Really?
Which is my plan. So,
7.5, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't jump off and be like, oh my God, that's amazing. But it's also, there's nothing that, like, is offensive.
Okay.
When you drink it either. By the way, I saw your beer from last week on the shelf.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah, and I was like, ooh, let me jump back from that. But they also had a grapefruit version.
Oh, no, it's got to be.
I was like, maybe grapefruit would be better. No.
So that was the lime was so it was masagata. What's the grapefruit is what?
It was the same thing. Oh, okay. It was weird. Yeah, it was weird. I guess that's just the brand. One was grapefruit. But anyway, no, this is good. I would give this a solid out of, we're doing out of 5, right?
Yep.
I would give it I give 3.8.
3.8. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. 3.8.
Yeah, so not
a bad score still.
No, it's above average just because of the smoothness of it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, nothing offensive like some of them. You know, some of them you take a swig and it's like, whew, yeah, knocks you over. So,
well, I can tell on this one, I can already get the smell of that sweet syrupy.
Mm-hmm. That's the imperialness of the of the imperial style. Those things are usually sweet. I can see it.
Mm. That's good. Yeah, it's not as sweet as I expected.
Cool.
Because it's got a little bit of, you can taste the, you can taste that hazelnut. Let me see. Mm. Yeah, that hazelnut coffee kind of helps to offset. I thought, man, the way it was smelling, you know, what I was getting.
Yeah.
The aroma there, right before I took the sip, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be way too sweet for me. It's not. It's not bad. So cool. I can have my donut with this little offset there. So,
yeah, then it won't taste sweet at all after taking a bite of the donut, because you'll have the donut sweetness and then.
Oh yeah.
Have I ever told you, and then we'll get into the bullets, but have I ever told you about my grilled cheese sandwich using donuts?
No.
So you take like a end of day donut, maybe the next morning donut, mm-hmm. you know? So you get a regular glazed. Mm-hmm. So you cut it like a bagel, mm-hmm. flip it inside out, right? So the inside is now the outside. You know, put your butter or mayonnaise, depending on how you fry your grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh man, that sounds disgusting. Mayonnaise on a donut.
No, listen. Do you not use mayonnaise to fry your grilled cheese sandwiches?
I do for a grilled cheese, but mayonnaise and donut just doesn't.
Well, it's the place of the butter. So if you want to put butter on it, it's fine.
All right.
And then I like to do like some type of, you know, shredded lunch meat, like a ham or a turkey. I like turkey. Mm-hmm. Some American cheese and then a slice of apple, mm-hmm. like fry all that stuff up before you put it on the buns and then put it all together. So basically the donut becomes your bread for the grilled cheese sandwich. And it is so good. Oh, so good.
Because you get the cheese, mm-hmm. and then you got you put a little mayonnaise and you got kind of a little tanginess there with the mayo. Yep.
You really don't taste the mayo because it's just to brown it. Like there's very little on it. It's not all like actually mayonnaise, but so you get the sweetness of the donut, you get the cheese, you get the turkey, and then you get the apple, and it's awesome.
So, that sounds delicious.
So what's your score on your, now that you've had a few sips? I mean, you're going at it pretty fast, so it must be pretty good.
I'm giving this a 4.8.
Wow.
This is a 4.8. This is really good.
What
by the way,
called?
it's Breakfast Hero. And these guys are out of, Trim Tab Brewing down in Alabama. And they've got one of these labels, like the sticker labels, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you can kind of, which I think it's good. Their label's really cool. Even though, you know, it's just, they've stuck it on, but I like the bright red.
I like that. Yeah.
By the way, the donut, I don't know if you ever had a chance when you lived here, but one of the best donut places, there's actually quite a few donut places in the area. I'm sure you've got a hot spot up there around the Austin area, but
a dozen or so. Yeah.
But there's one place over in Maryville. It's off of Broadway called Richie Cream. And this place has some, if you go early in the morning when they're fresh, it's so amazing. They're incredible.
Sounds good.
They've got a strawberry cream filled that is just out of this world. And I don't usually like fruit filled, but this is, it's amazing. So.
Well, they have a place up here, up in Georgetown, that is like a Round Rock or one of those. It's like a 2 or 5 pound donut. So it's basically a dozen donuts, but it's one donut. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Mm. So
sounds amazing.
All right. So let's get into some bullets. So, you know, bullets are used in a lot of places and a lot of them are not very good. And the better they are, like they're great to kind of keep people going forward. They're also great to slow people down. Mm-hmm. In your copy or in your emails or in your presentations. Right. So even though most of these are like what we would call fascination bullets or teaser bullets, where you're trying to, you know, you're not giving all the details.
Right.
You could apply some of these ideas to PowerPoint slides.
Sure.
To bullets in your email, you know, just to vary it up and to spice up all your writing. Mm-hmm. One of the books, I guess that's the next episode. No, future episode. Next week, right? We'll be talking about our new book, Writing Without BS.
Absolutely. This one.
I don't want to get the E rating on here, so I just said BS.
Josh Burnoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to have him on this week, but his schedule didn't work out, so he is going to be joining us next week to talk about Writing Without BS, like you said.
I guess we'll have to get an explicit tag for that particular episode. All right. Yeah. So let me go through some of these bullets. So mm-hmm. like I said, there's 21 of them and some of them are pretty familiar. The how-to bullet, I'm not going to go to that. But then there's like the secret to bullet. So the secret, and it could be the secret to, the secret of, the little known secret of, those kind of things. But any type of the word secret in there. So the secret to single finger takedowns using moves that are indefensible even by a larger, more experienced opponent. So that's like a a fighting type ad that you might see that in. Another phrase, little known secrets. That's a go-to phrase that you can use over and over.
Right.
The secret, so little known secrets that can steer you to tremendous profits in gold, even if bullion drops to $250 an ounce. So it sounds very specific, but at the same time, you have no idea what it's talking about.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the secret of bullets, of a really good bullet.
Piques your curiosity.
Piques your curiosity, makes you want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just go through some more because there's tons of these.
Yeah. You got the why, the what. Which we see these a lot. Why this is happening, or why up to 70% of all poisonings happening to children under five. You know, that's interesting. You want to learn more.
Right. Yeah. So why is that happening? Am I doing that? Maybe I'm accidentally poisoning my kids.
Sure.
Because I see a lot of times when I do some audits for people on their websites and their registration, like these are great for webinar registrations, right? You always have the bullets.
Right.
Lead magnets, you always have the bullets to get people to opt in. And I see people kind of end up with the same, you see a lot of how-to bullets, but not 20 other types of bullets.
Mm-hmm.
You might see some what's here and there. So like the what bullet is what you must do at once if you receive a mild shock when you touch an electric appliance.
Right.
And that one he puts like page 26 after it. So if you know you're going to be offering a book, that's a really cool thing to do.
To me, that reinforces it in my mind when somebody says, when somebody puts a page number on it, like you said, if it's a book, that just solidifies the fact that, oh, you know, that question's going to be answered for sure. Because I know, I know specifically where it's located. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can go fact check that. Mm-hmm. Right. And then it instills some confidence. Oh, I can go check that one out.
Yep.
And I know where to check it out. And yeah. So that's super powerful. Obviously it doesn't work as well on like super short books. Right. If all your bullets are less than page like 10, it just looks weird.
Yeah.
So you can say section one, part three, something like that instead of the actual page number, to kind of get that same feel without having to, you know, give a page number.
Right.
Let's see. These are great. The what never bullets.
Mm-hmm.
What never, this is a famous one that sold lots of subscriptions. What never to eat on an airplane, the dirtiest, deadliest airplane in the whole wide world. So you got to know what that is.
It's like every airplane right now, right?
I don't know. See, don't spread the myth, right? Because they're probably cleaner than they've ever been.
Exactly.
At this point. Right. Like everything else in the world right now, it's probably the cleanest it's ever been.
Sure.
The other thing is I heard actually that the air filtration systems on airplanes in the last 10 years or so are basically the same as like intensive care units in hospitals.
Oh, I can imagine.
They're super HEPA filters and all that stuff.
Right.
Let's see. So what never to keep in your deposit box? Never. And how to stop the state from stealing it. So that's a good one.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then how about the, so a kind of a variation of that is kind of just like the not or the worse. So why you should not use soap anywhere but under the arms and on the genitals.
Yep.
So don't wash your hands. Yep. Don't buy into the lie.
Right. So that goes against conventional thinking. So that's it. You know, that piques curiosity.
And that's kind of the what never idea, right? What do people think you can do? And you can contrast that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
also so, using a little bit of fear there in persuasion, which we talk about.
You could also use that in like I'm thinking about CrossFit because I'm going to start going back next week when the gym's open. And I haven't been in a while, but he's like, you could say, you know, what stretching exercise you should never do before lifting weights.
Right.
And actually there is a whole series of those you should not do before lifting weights, but, So what caught your eye? I know you got the PDF there.
Yeah. So another one is the warning. the warning bullet, which captures my attention, especially when they use all caps and warning. So that immediately attracts your attention. Or say, for instance, you use like the word warning in all caps or either caution in all caps and then put like a colon and then follow it up with, you know, what you're about to give them. For example, warning, avoid these two popular gold investments like the plague. Okay. caution, colon, Washington and Wall Street are conspiring to hoodwink you. So, and then they say the only, they only want to think what they've cleaned. They only want you to think what they've cleaned up on Wall Street. And,
and notice the words also, you know, that he uses to make these bullets stronger. Like the first one you said, avoid, avoid these two popular gold investments like the plague.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a common phrase. Clayton was big on like using cliches. Like your, you know, your English teacher said, don't use cliches. Don't right. And he's got a whole book on or a booklet on using cliches.
Yeah.
And then the reason is because they basically fly under the radar. People just accept that as truth.
Yeah.
Like there's a familiarity. We've talked about the nostalgia and familiarity. There's a familiarity with cliches that people are just like, oh, yeah. You know, and it immediately resonates with them.
Right.
So it feels safe. It feels comfortable. So you want to, even if it's a negative thing, you know, like the plague, it still feels familiar and feels safe.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like you're telling the truth. It feels like something a friend would say to them, right? Or whatever. So that's why those work. So you want to mix in not only like the beginning of the bullets, but some of the tools and things that he talks about in here. So the gimmick bullet, how about that?
The gimmick bullet.
The gimmick bullet. This would be, this is pretty much what all like, I think infomercials are based on. It's like the gimmick bullet. The amazing towel hanging trick that increases the strength of your erection, plus your love making stamina, allowing you to supercharge your love life in a very short time. You have to experience these kinds of rocket burst orgasms to believe they're possible. See page 139. We might get the explicit rating after all.
Yeah, it's too late. We're getting close to that MA, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the gimmick, the optical, you know, you mentioned the amazing, using words like the amazing.
Yeah.
Also, they use the optical illusion that absolutely destroys most golfers. The most damaging habit nearly all amateurs suffer, the guarantees, you know, there's that powerful word, guarantees, they will never experience a consistently great game. So, yeah, I mean, that's curiosity right there. So,
yeah,
if you're a golfer,
yeah,
I'm kind of like, okay, I want to learn a little more.
Yeah.
What is this one thing that,
what is this optical illusion?
Yeah. Hmm. Because I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm curious.
And see, that's just taking something that's ordinary. It's probably super ordinary. It's probably a letdown, actually, when you find out what it is. But
sure.
Yeah. But and giving it like a new name, right? So it's like, I don't know.
Once you know the secret, you'll own the course. That's the promise.
That's a nice little bonus right there. I know there's something about putting because of the way you hold your head, that there is like a distance optical illusion that happens. It could be something like that.
Sure.
But you got to know, cause you don't want to be victim of this optical illusion that is holding your game back. Right.
Yep.
So you got to know, the sneaky bullet. Sneaky is another great little word, right?
Yeah.
Sneaky little arthritis secrets that doctors never, ever tell you about.
Yeah.
Sneaky insurance tricks that could be costing you an arm and a leg. Make sure you're not a victim. You know, so just using slightly different words, these, you know, you could also do how to avoid insurance tricks that could be costing you an arm and a leg, but it doesn't sound as good.
Yeah.
And you end up with five how-to bullets in your set of bullets instead of just coming up with some different. I mean, that's the number one problem I see when people write bullets is they all start kind of the same.
Sure.
So you need these other words like the amazing, the whatever, the sneaky, all these different words.
Mm-hmm.
So number 13 is interesting. The statement of interest plus benefit bullet. So that sounds really complicated. But basically you put out a statement of interest, then you add a benefit to it, and there's your bullet. So, So a statement of interest could be like something like almost clickbaity, to be honest. Yeah. So drowning is the third leading cause of accidental death. Mm-hmm. So there's a statement of interest. Let's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But did you know it's possible to save a drowning person even if you can't swim? That's interesting. It's got some benefit to it. Oh, okay. So if I'm at the beach with my kids and I can't swim, I could maybe still save them. Mm-hmm.
So you're creating some cognitive dissonance there, because what they're saying is like, there's two things at work there. You're creating a curiosity by saying, okay, well, you can't swim. How are you going to save somebody that's drowning? So I gotta learn more, because those things don't, in my mind, don't go together. So right. I got to learn more. I got to put this together. So it's creating that curiosity, those questions in your mind that you have to resolve. And so you want to know more.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's see. The specific question bullet. Mm-hmm. I like these. These are, cause they're really specific, obviously, which makes it feel more real, makes it feel like very information that I need to know, because it is so specific.
Right.
Do you know that 1/4 of all household burglars gain entrance without breaking in? Here's how they do it. Yep. How to get them to stop doing it to you. Page 157.
Right.
And then sometimes that specific question it's not like a full formed question. And as this bullet explains, so joint bank accounts, ? Close them fast and open separate ones, or you'll pay dearly.
Right.
So, some curiosity there. You know, you're speaking directly to a very specific person with a specific question, people who have joint checking accounts. What time of day are you at the greatest risk for low blood glucose? The surprising answer will put you on alert. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I need to know that. If I've got low blood sugar, then I probably need to know that there's a specific time of day I'm more at risk. So things like that.
The quickest, easiest bullet. So we were talking last week on the, from the book Thinking Fast and Slow about the, the system one and system two brain. So, and I would say a lot of these bullets actually fit into system one. I mean, that's the whole point. You want to make it easy, but, you start using quickest, easiest type bullets. For example, the easiest way to beat out even the most ferocious competition in your marketplace, even when their marketing is brilliant, their budget is huge, and their copy is so persuasive, it could have been written by Claude Hopkins himself. So, that's pretty cool.
There's a lot going on in that bullet.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, but it's basically, as a lot of these bullets are, they're created for the system one brain, where that's our kind of our system, our simple thinking, or where we want the easy answers. You know, we don't want to have to do a lot of thinking, in-depth thinking. That's where we kind of gravitate to. So most of these bullets are tailored to that system one thinking.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's kind of a run through. We hit about, I don't know, we probably hit 12 or 13 of them.
Yep.
These are, you can probably do a search for 21 bullet secrets that ignite the selling power of your copy on the Google, and probably find a PDF of this. I know there's some floating around out there. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. And, I guess that's a wrap. We got a guest coming on here any minute. So
absolutely. Yeah, this is a great summary. We'll try to put, even if I can find it, I'll put a link on our webpage, and maybe even a summary just on some of the bullets that we talked about on this one. So, good show, man. This is great. This is, I would say if you could get a hold of this, I think I'm going to print this out, because this is really good, Sean.
I've got a printed copy. I leave it on my desk.
Cause I mean, this is, if you need just a little reference guide, when you're writing copy, having this,
to kind of refer back to. These are really great examples. So we've got a guest coming up, so we'll jump off on that. Thanks for listening, guys. And as always, you can find us at persuasionbythepint.com. Find us on all of your podcast platforms. And Sean, it's been fun. I'll see you on the next episode.
See ya.